And good afternoon, good evening, good morning. How are you all? Spinning on the ball. Yes, it's a ball, please. This is what? Journeys with JP. Stand by, please, Russell. My show tonight, first of all, I need to announce, yes, I'm not dead. Apparently, there's some fellow called PJ, who's known as PJ, who died this morning. And it's like Pat Johnson or something, or something like that. And bless his heart, but people were freaking out because they thought that PJ was, like, not JP, and, like, I know, it's very subtle, you know. However, as I said, rumors of my death have been greatly over-exaggerated, and therefore, this is me here. It's the 30th of January, 2017, and this is Journeys with JP. Now, this afternoon, I had somebody contact me, who had something to do with Jordan Maxwell, and I thought, well, let's why not talk to him on the show? So, here we are. How are you doing? This is Russell Blackburg. Good afternoon, Russell.
Hi, JP. I guess I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm not bad at all. Actually feeling very well. Having had a nice cup of Italian blend coffee earlier on. So, that's all good for me.
That's good, man.
So, where are you speaking from, Russell?
I'm living right now in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Las Vegas.
Right off the strip.
Mm-hmm. And, you began a conversation this afternoon, and to be honest, I'm really busy. Like really, really busy. Got a zillion things to do. And so I couldn't look at all these things, and I'm on the air. So I actually, if somebody said, by the way, people, if you send me a YouTube, I can't look at it right away because, I'm on the air, and if I play a YouTube, it'll come out on the radio. You know, that's how close it is. So, if you are wanting to meet me to send something, if you send me a YouTube, just write something underneath it to what you're writing about so that I got an idea. Otherwise, you know, I might not ever watch it. So, once again, good afternoon, Russell. So, what's going on? What's happening?
Okay, well, basically, a lot is happening. I mean, a lot's happening in the world, but, you know, in my life, basically yesterday, my YouTube channel, which I had just finished the day before, was deleted. So, you know, that's okay. It is what it is, but was a big part of my reason for wanting to try to do interviews now, because pretty much all my, available online content is now deleted. I have it all backed up, but, you know, yeah. I've had several YouTube channels deleted already, and now I can't create any more, and, you know, I'm not going to be able to earn any money from any of this. So, you know, it is what it is.
So, what was the excuse that they gave you?
The excuse that they gave me was that basically because I'd already had a YouTube channel deleted before, and they told me that I couldn't create any additional channels. Well, basically, I had additional YouTube accounts, which I'd created, and I'd liked my own videos and subscribed to my own channel, and they basically just said, well, you have additional YouTube accounts, and so you violated the terms of service, pretty much. That was the excuse.
All right. So, okay, so what were your videos about?
Well, basically, there's a lot of content in them, but the most recent video, which to me, kind of pushed things over the edge of where maybe it was time to delete the channel instead of leaving it up, was I had just made a video about, vaccinations and what I felt were what I called the real truth about vaccinations. And, the reason why I made this video specifically is not only because of what's going on in the world, but also because of what was going on with me and what is going on with me right now. And what's going on with me right now is that I'm detoxifying all of my childhood vaccinations. And what I learned is that I've had more vaccines than I was led to believe that I'd had. Because obviously, you know, the normal schedule of vaccines is quite heavy. You know, it's 70 something vaccines, and you know, we shouldn't be getting any vaccines. But I've had more than that, and I had them in all these inappropriate places, like all over my body, including in my head and my groin area, just everywhere. There shouldn't be vaccines. And my girlfriend has two, and her son has two, and we're all Rh negative. And so I made a video about how the vaccines were specifically a eugenics operation targeted against star seeds, and that's why the autism is happening and all this. And talk about, you know, how specifically the vaccines, the main reason that they're making these vaccines and doing it is to create parasites in the bodies so that everyone has ringworms and ropeworms and tapeworms. And that basically, you know, these parasites on an individual level, you know, prevent people from fulfilling their potential. That's why people
have... You end up with malnutrition.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Even in a rich country, you know, you've got malnutrition because all these bugs are eating your stuff.
Well, both on the inside and the outside. And no, I mean, you have Monsanto. I mean, something like in America, what I've heard, the statistic is that like 80% of the food now is genetically modified. So yeah, you might be living in, quote, one of the richest countries on the earth with the most, quote, wealth and, quote, abundance. But in reality, you know, that it's like George Carlin said, how it's called the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it, because it's the illusion of choice and the illusion of freedom. You know, well, I watched a video with Alan Watt, and he was saying that literally they're washing all the food with BPA, bisphenol A, which is the epoxy resin that created from plastics and oil, and which is literally, it mimics estrogen. And so that's why, you know, men, especially in America, are, you know, turning more effeminate and women are going more manly, because it's all, everybody's literal hormones is being played with. And so I was just trying to talk about these issues, and just in general, it wasn't just these issues. I had uploaded, you know, all of Mark Passio's content, and I'd gotten everything really organized in my channel, and the videos were actually starting to go viral. And so, you know, that was exactly when it went down. And so, you know, there you go.
Well, that's the hot issue, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
Vaccinations, you know? And well, let's just break it down and make it personal. So, you know, your story is your story, right?
Of course.
And we all come to the truth with our, you know, the reason that we're here instead of sitting there watching TV is something has bumped us into waking up. For myself, 31 years ago, I had a bike crash and that woke me up. You know, I had to learn all these things. I got to understanding about healing, you know, understood, you know, what it was like to be in a hospital, what that was all about. I, you know, that's taken me onto the path of becoming a healer, becoming somebody who helps to heal people. Even I still don't like that word. It's imperial. Kind of idea that you're a healer and there is, you're the patient. But anyway, before we go into that, it's these events that make our journey. And this is what the show is about, is our journey to realizing that you are a spirit having a human experience as opposed to being a human that's got a soul somewhere. You
right.
See what I'm saying?
Well,
that's my topic kind of thing.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to interrupt you, but you bringing up the concept of the healer and you going through your own experiences and learning how to heal as a result. Well, that's basically what shamanism is all about. It's the whole concept of the wounded healer, right?
Exactly. The Chiron. Chiron is, where is it? It's in Pisces, that is next to Mercury, which is very interesting. So that means that I have a wound in my communication, which is like, what the hell am I doing on the radio then? I suppose it's a compensation, well, you know, because, yeah, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, and I'm actually really happy that you brought that up, and it's good because I wanted to talk about astrology anyway. One of the things that basically I learned from Jordan that I've been trying to share with people is that there's pretty much two forms of astrology. Are you familiar with this concept?
There are several forms of astrology from what I can understand.
Of course, but in general, you know,
I study the esoteric seven rays, which I think Jordan has sometimes touched on, But as I said, it's the esoteric thing that is lies behind everything. You know,
sure.
Because the seven is the divided into the three and the four that then multiplies to the 12. You see?
Sure.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. Jordan basically introduced me to his astrologer, whose name is, Joey. And pretty much, what Joey explained to me was that the whole concept of Western astrology, it has validity. It's just that it's leaving out some of the information and it's sort of like intentionally misleading on purpose so that it gives you information which is valid and which is accurate, but it's not 100% in a way. And I'll explain to you what I mean. The thing is that Western astrology, there's 12 signs, right? And it's based off of the ecliptic, which is the Earth's apparent path around the sun in a 20 degree band. So it's basically like, it's like a generalized average. And the thing is that all of the zodiac signs are based off of the names of the astrological constellations, but they don't actually have to do with the actual constellations. So do you see how, what I mean, why that's confusing? So the sign Sagittarius, it's called Sagittarius, but it's not the constellation of Sagittarius. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, the sun is in a different place from being in the constellation of Sagittarius, but this is due to everything having moved a bit. So we're about a month out, aren't we? About 30 degrees out.
Right. That's exactly right. And so the thing is that when I'm talking about essentially two forms of astrology, what I'm saying is that, you know, I mean, and of course there's many variations. I'm just kind of watering it down. You know, that Western astrology is based off this concept of the ecliptic and the signs. And sidereal astrology is based off of 13 constellations and including a 13th, you know, sign, if you want to call it that, called Ophiuchus. Have you ever heard of Ophiuchus?
I've heard of Ophiuchus. I've heard of Ophiuchus. I've heard of them. It's the one that nobody can pronounce, you see. But yes, it's between Sagittarius and Scorpio. And indeed it's the point of a 13 pointed triangle that is the point that points to the center of our galaxy. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the galactic center and
Hunabku.
Yeah, and what Ophiuchus represents, the symbolism of Ophiuchus is that Ophiuchus is a shaman and he is a snake tamer and a healer. And basically what Ophiuchus does is it cuts through Taurus, which represents the material reality. And, you know, within Western astrology, Scorpio, pretty much you would just lump it in with Ophiuchus because in sidereal astrology, Scorpio is actually a very small constellation. It only takes about, I think it's 7 to 8 degrees. So yeah, the concept of Scorpio is similar to Ophiuchus, but it's a little bit different. It's subtle. Whereas Ophiuchus is more kind of focused on healing and sort of shamanism, I guess, in general, you could say. And I mean,
So what are you talking about really? Sorry to jump in, but you're talking about like people are born in a late Scorpio and not as scorpionic as say the earlier Scorpios. They're more Ophiuchan, which would give them more of the healer aspect of the water sign rather than water sign. What sign? What's the element in it? But it would be more of a healer, end of Scorpio. Cause there's the kind of sharp end of Scorpio and then there's the gentle end as well.
Right. And that sharp end, you know, has its validity. But the thing is that, Scorpio in the Eastern, you know, or sidereal, it only is basically from November 23rd to November 29th, and Ophiuchus is from November 30th to December 17th.
November 30th to December 17th. Okay. All right. So it's almost like Scorpio is divided. Well, that's typical, isn't it? That Scorpio is kind of divided in twain, almost.
Yeah. Well, It's an interesting concept anyway, but so anyway, you were just saying, well, Chiron is in Pisces. It's like, well, sure, under like the Western astrology, but you know, if you're going to go based off the actual constellations, then Chiron is in Aquarius.
Okay.
So, you know, just thought, because again, there's an alternate viewpoint to everything, and it's not that Chiron isn't in Pisces. You see what I'm saying? But it's
yeah,
just,
yeah, it's, I, well, it's at the other, it is, hang on, no, you're right. I didn't know that. Yeah, no, it's at the low end of Pisces is, my Chiron. So that could end up in Aquarius, which, what would Chiron and Aquarius be? It's a mental thing. I'd be mental. Yeah, I'd be insane, wouldn't I? Yeah, well, that fits.
Well, think about it like this. I mean, you're communicating new age information, right?
Yeah. Beyond new age, yeah. Even that.
Right. That's what Aquarius represents. It's about objectivity and new age information, like all this, right? Yeah. You know, the water flowing, right? The water bearer, you know, flowing just to everyone, fairly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but Chiron represents the deepest wound. So in a way, it's like you do have the truth and you do have like the objective, like new age vision. But at the same time, Chiron represents the deepest wound. So it's like, well, in past lives, people haven't allowed you, you know, your own like respect in that. They haven't taken you seriously. They haven't listened to you. And you know, that's. The result has been good.
I might have been burned at the stake by the Catholic Church once or twice.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The result wasn't good, but in this lifetime, it's not meant to happen that way. And it's meant to be, you know, one of your biggest strengths in this lifetime, your objectivity.
Yep.
So that's, you know, that's how astrology, and again, you know, to look at your Chiron in Pisces, it's similar because Pisces, and again, all the signs that, they're, you know, if you go one from one to another, they're kind of similar, but it's different. Aquarius and Pisces are kind of different. They have different qualities. You see what I'm saying? So it changes things to a degree.
Oh yeah, to a degree. So Ophiuchus.
Yes.
What is the element of the Ophiuchus sign?
Or is I want to say it's air.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's, so it'll jump. Yeah, okay.
I think so. I'd have to double check. Look it up.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. And Ophiuchus, what is Ophiuchus? What is the symbol of, you know, for instance, the symbol of Virgo is a female with water flowing and all that stuff. So what's the Ophiuchan thing symbol?
Yeah. I looked it up and it's saying that we would guess it's a water sign. The symbol of Ophiuchus is it's a man holding a snake. He's a snake tamer. He's a shaman and a healer basically. And the whole concept is that he's the wounded healer who himself is able to, because of his knowledge, he's able to overcome the reptilian complex and heal it.
I see. So Ophiuchus is like a kind of galactic reflection of Chiron.
Yeah, you could say that. That's interesting.
Let me just even follow it further, that it would be the, cause I can see what this is. This is the way you heal something is you dive into where the weakness is and the weakness shows itself.
That's right.
everybody shows their healing, their need for healing. They have, a sense that they want to heal themselves, but they don't know how to. So people, that's when people attack. Yeah, it's really interesting that people think, oh, I'm being attacked. Why don't you, and if you are a kind of spiritual warrior, why don't you consider, instead of being attacked, some training. Here's the weirding module. This is a live action. Oops, I keep dropping things. It's a live action, training system, you know, planet Earth. So, don't worry about being attacked. It's just training. So, you know, you're trying to learn how to deal with demons. There you go. So you call on the energy of Ophiuchus. Correct?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, this world, we're dealing with spiritual parasitism. I don't think, you know, I think very few people living in this world can honestly say that they are living up to their full potential. And people have to ask why.
So it's, to me, this is part of my quest, you see, because I have a theory that these fabled DNA strands. You know, we say there are 12 DNA strands that we have that are inactivated.
Right.
And that each of these DNA strands, I believe, is connected with a race, a founder race, or a contributing race to the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those strands, the reason that they've been separated from us, and the reason we can't get to them is because they are behind a trauma.
That's right.
And that the quest is to overcome all of these traumas. But all of these stories are all in different places. Now, Joseph Campbell gives you the hero's story, the story of Hercules, the 12 labors of Hercules, which take you around. And I'm gonna have a guest in the future, Errol Wiener, who does the labors of Hercules through the year, through, you know, as an astrology thing, you know, a Western astrology thing, with the 12 cycles and the 12 signs. Each of which is a little play. And we used to do this psychodrama. Become these characters in these plays. So that was a very interesting way of looking at it. But it's all the same story, which of course comes, you know, divides down into the three, you know, the leaving the home, the doing the thing, and then coming back, to break it down. All of these cycles, they are all the phasing through each one by one of our 12 strands, each of which has a trauma associated with it. So basically we will be triggered through the month on each of these traumas. Is that right?
Well, can I ask you a question, JP?
Ask me.
What's your birthday?
18th of March, 1961.
Okay.
I was going to say 1961, 03, 18.
Okay.
Go on.
Well, so you said 18th of March, 1963, is that correct?
61.
61, okay, that's why I wanted to double check.
Yeah.
So, okay. According to this, your sun is in the constellation of Pisces because, you know, Pisces is from March 12th to April 18th. But it's on the, you know, that's basically right to being close on the cusp of Aquarius, right? So you have that Pisces and Aquarian energy.
No, the cusp of Aries. It's at the end of Pisces. It's 27 degrees Pisces. Oh, you're saying if it was corrected.
Yeah.
I see. Oh, so if it was corrected, I'd be at the other end of the sign.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
Holy
crap. So I'd be really Aquarian, man. Yeah, past the hippie letters. Anyway, go on.
Okay. And then have you ever heard of the concept of north node or south node of the moon? Or
yeah.
Dragon's tail?
Yeah, okay. It's the destiny mark.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The north node is
you
the destiny.
You have a destiny.
And the south node represents your past life karma. So
yes.
You said March 18th, 1961.
All right. So my north node. Now, where's that? I think it's conjuncts my Pluto, which is in Virgo, I think.
Okay. Yeah, but the thing is that your north node is in Leo.
Ah, now it's in Leo. Yeah, yeah, let me out, baby.
Yep, and it's on the cusp of Cancer.
Oh, how sweet. So I'll do it all from home. There you go.
Well, so that's interesting because again, you know, if your Chiron is in Aquarius and your south node's in Aquarius, because obviously Aquarius is the opposite
of Leo, yes.
Right. Well, kind of what that represents is in a way, it's pretty much like, remember it was like we were saying how in past lives, maybe, you know, you got burned at the stake or something for sharing this information. Now in this lifetime, to have the north node in Leo means people are going to respect you. And you're going to have like a career and you're going to be powerful basically. And it's not like, you know, you're just going to be like doing everything for everybody else and not getting any of the credit this time.
Wow.
Because Chiron represents like our deepest wound and Chiron was the healer who couldn't heal himself. So it's like, it's basically like, it's the thing that we've come into this lifetime to heal on a personal level and like be taken seriously on a, you know, in a career level, basically, because that's what Chiron represents. And it also has to do with your love life.
All right. Oh, sorry. My ears pricked up there. Yeah. What happens?
Well, the thing is, basically it's about healing in that regard because Chiron represents your deepest wound. And obviously you'd have to look at what house this placement's in because then you could look at it even more specifically. But pretty much what it suggests is that you're going to find, you know, a partner or a spouse or whatever who basically will respect you for all of this.
Oh, that's nice. That'll make a change.
Yeah, you deserve that.
Wouldn't it? So that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So Russell, you know, you probably don't know my history, do you? You wouldn't know.
No.
You don't know me from Adam, really. So that's very interesting.
I've listened to your show with Stuart Swerdlow and Alex Collier a couple times and I liked it and I wanted to, you know, but now I'm talking to you, which is great.
Cool. Very nice. So your personal, approach to, the esoteric side of life is through astrology, right? Do you look at any other ways of cutting and slicing the cake?
Well, the thing is, I only learned about astrology within the last few years. I would say that, what I learned from astrology, it just validated in a way everything about myself, because what astrology I think is most helpful is not necessarily about telling you something that you don't necessarily already know. It's about validating what you already know in a way. But one of the things that I use on a regular basis is cannabis, and I'm a very strong advocate and believer in it. Cannabis for me has been, you know, I wouldn't even be alive if it weren't for cannabis and Rick Simpson and the cannabis oil. I've had cancer for many years and I've been treating it with the oil. Other psychedelics have really opened up my world. Magic mushrooms. I've taken mushrooms many times. LSD. I'm not as big of a fan as LSD, but I've done it and, you know, it's helped me and I've had good experiences with it. One of the things I really am very fascinated with and like to talk about and I think is just amazing and I think everyone needs to know about it and it's very important is DMT and ayahuasca, but specifically DMT. Are you familiar with DMT?
Well, that's a very interesting conversation. I vicariously had a very amazing journey. Basically... I'm very empathic, right?
Mm-hmm.
I spent a week with somebody who had gone through the ayahuasca process several times.
Mm-hmm.
And so with their openness and in contact with that, it kind of, you know, mine kind of cracked open. It kind of, how did it sound like? Where was it? I haven't got it. No, not that one. Anyway, mine cracked open and had just the most amazing trippy experience just on coffee. It was wonderful.
Sure. Well, what I would say, because I have a lot of experience with psychedelics and, you know, I've done psychedelics even with people who aren't, or I've been sober while other people are doing psychedelics. What I would say is that, you know, regardless, even if you're not personally doing it, like when those substances are engaged in, it sort of opens up the door to those realms. And if you're participating in it to any extent, it's like, I don't know. It's just, it kind of opens up like an alternate dimension in a way of reality.
It sounds very interesting. It sounds like a fascinating journey. I'd need to have a day off. And the thing is, I don't get many days off because in my days off, people call me and I have to do stuff. So it would really, you know, maybe later in the summer, there may be an opportunity for that to happen. But who knows? It'd be a very interesting. So, I mean, and here's the thing, you know, it's impossible to describe the kind of situation, because I remember when, you know, years ago, years and years ago, people, when I took LSD once, or twice, that it was, you know, it wasn't like, you know, having a pint down at the pub. It just wasn't like that. It's the difference between, I don't know, having an aspirin and then going onto an aeroplane and landing on the moon and, walking underwater and then coming back to your bedroom, you know. It's a whole journey, you know. That's why they call it a trip, because you're completely not in this environment. It's like you're jetted off or rocketed off to some other place, which is very, very different, even if you think it's the same room.
Right. Well, the thing is that, and that's definitely a good analysis of it. The thing is that basically we live in a multi-dimensional and a holographic universe. And even though, I mean, and we all take these things for granted, like electricity and radio waves and Wi-Fi and internet and, you know, all of it. I mean, it's all in our environment like a stew, but you know, because we don't see it, it doesn't affect us on the same level, even though it does. And the thing is that what I think people are most afraid of, JP, and this goes back to what you were saying about these ancestral traumas, what people are most afraid of is their actual imagination and their own creativity. Because the thing is, it's, you have to look at, well, like throughout history, what the concept has been for the expression of personal creativity. I mean, go back to the story of the Garden of Eden, right? You know, eating of the tree of fruit of knowledge.
I have other interpretations of that. You know, is it metaphorical? Is it a real story? Maybe both. Is it a fractal story that happens on every dimension? Maybe too.
Of course, but what I'm talking about is as a metaphor, if you look at, well, the apple represents knowledge. But the thing is, if you replace the apple with, let's say, the mushroom, you know, to give you knowledge, well, the problem is that the gods, with an S, didn't want, you know, the humans to basically become gods and get the knowledge.
You know what I was saying before about the 12 strands of DNA?
Yes.
My opinion is that those beings who called themselves the gods were actually imposters.
Well, they were.
And indeed, that they didn't actually create us, and that our species, human race, started out a long, long, long time ago and kind of had devolved a bit.
Yeah.
We're a long story, but they landed here a long time ago, and then these beings were then genetically modified to become us. But we're still these beings who looked really kind of gruff actually are very, very high dimensional beings.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and this goes back to what Alex Collier talks about, which is, and Stuart Swerdlow does too, which is the very foundations and the root of humanity. And they're saying that the humans go back from the Lyra star system, and that,
absolutely,
you know, we've come. And, yeah. And it's just this whole long, like, galactic war, and that because through the reincarnational cycles and through the traumas of history and through all, you know, because the history is his story and it's written by the victors. And if you're an extraterrestrial and you can, you know, genetically modify people and manipulate history, and if you have a lifespan of hundreds or thousands of years and all this technology to travel in time and stuff, you can manipulate things quite a bit.
Exactly. So here's the thing. So you say, okay, let's talk about Lyra. I believe that the story of the serpent in the garden was Lyra, and the serpent were the Alpha Draconians, and the apple was the knowledge of what it is to be good and what it is to be evil. And we have learned that in the last billion years.
Yeah.
Now we know we can stop eating the apples to extend that metaphor.
Well, yeah, it's Jordan. One of the things Jordan used to say to me all the time was, by their fruits, you shall know them.
Exactly. So, so to me, we today are the humans who are the descendants of Eve, who ate the apple, right? But I don't believe that situation happened first on Earth. It's, as I said, it's an archetypal story that was then replayed here, as ever, as all archetypal stories are. In fact, if you're married, you're playing out archetypal stories of people that have gone before who never sorted it out either. And that's why we're here. We're trying to sort out all these problems. And they've been dividing the problem further and further and further and further in smaller and smaller beings until they finally get to us and we're able to get down to the scale where we can see where the problem is. And the problem is where it all started. And it's, from my opinion, the problem is the grief that we haven't properly expressed for our Lyran brothers and sisters, that we lost connection with them. We were all ripped out of a collective mind, just like Seven of Nine in Star Trek, that we were removed from that feeling of love and comfort and oneness that we all used to have, which is what we call separation from source. But really, we can bring that back today, but we need to go back there and pull our grief back from that point this is how I work it anyway. And I've had some good success with people actually, because they reunite with their Lyran self. Their higher self is their Lyran self.
Sure. And you know, JP, I just want to say that you're great, by the way, because your perspective is very unique, but you have the knowledge to back it up. But a lot of people would just say, you know, sounds kind of crazy, but you're right. And what we're dealing with here on, and I love Mark Passio's breakdown of this, is cosmic abandonment issues. We've been disconnected from our
Absolutely. And I'd love to talk to Mark about that. I think we'd have a good rap because, and he's on the ball. He's in the moment. He's really, really sharp.
He's great.
But exactly. And I believe that now back to my theory. Okay. So, first of all, there were the reptilians, the Alpha Draconians. Now, their story is that they were actually created as an accident by some, you know, sort of gray being who, you know, and the story of the Ninja Turtles, right? Yeah, that's the reptilians. That's the story of the reptilians. And I'm a microscale again. And their trauma is of being thrown away, of being worthless.
Yeah.
Of being not paid attention to, of not being listened to, and of being abandoned.
Have you ever seen the movie Super Mario, JP?
No.
Along with Ninja Turtles, have you?
No, actually, I never saw any of these things because I was like a teenager I was in my 20s in the 80s, and that was all like kid stuff. You know, so
yeah, if you ever get a chance, watch that movie, man. It's a trip. It's literally all about this like interdimensional reptilian race that's trapped like basically in like some like underground dimension, and they want to like merge into this one, and it's a trip. You're right.
So well, you see, the thing is, this all started as a tarot reading that I had from someone. Yeah, and she told this story that I'd never heard before. You know, this is about 5, 6, well, it's 2011, you know. And she told me this story, and I'd never heard this story before. It involved using the sun as a time travel machine. It involved a planet exploding. It involved water. It involved a planetary quarantine shield. It involved me being left behind. This is the big thing. Oh, I was left behind. That's it. Because that's the thing. This is the first thing I said, you know, look back on these. You know, how did I get to Earth? And I said, they left you behind. He was like, oh my God. Well, that explains a lot. You know, why I've got this feeling of like, where the crap are you guys? This feeling, you know, that has never been fulfilled. But anyway, they say they're coming now, but, it's a long time. But anyway, go on.
Well, basically that leads me to another string of what I wanted to talk about is that basically beginning in 2010, I consciously became aware of the existence of extraterrestrials. I started seeing, you know, UFOs, but then I realized that they weren't really UFOs because they kind of were just following me around. And then I kind of became aware of the whole concept of Pleiadians. And then I realized that I was Pleiadian, and, you know, that kind of made things a little bit more clear for me.
All right. So, well, there's another thing. Pleiades, because I've been moving around the last 10, 15 years from place to place, and I don't want to have too much stuff, and I don't really have that many pictures, but there is one framed picture that I have, and that's a photo from an observatory of the Pleiades.
I love it.
And I've slept it around, you know, I found it in a charity shop like 20 years ago when I moved here, and I haven't let go of it. And then I get the sound, Tegeta, that's weird. Oh, that's one of the Pleiades. All right. 31 years ago to this, almost this weekend, I had a motorcycle crash on, guess what? Hang on. The Seven Sisters Road in London. I'm not kidding. The Seven Sisters
wow.
Road.
Wow.
Okay. So, and you know, this all connects together. It all connects together. Since then, I discover that there was a mission from the Pleiades, from the future, to come back in time and destroy a reptilian base on a planet in our solar system, which was the staging post for this quadrant. And it was the mainstay. It was like, if this place was destroyed, then, the humans would be free in this whole quadrant. So the idea was to bomb the base. And Mars was at that time a moon of Maldek, which is the name of this planet, or Tiamat, or Shamat,
right.
They call it.
Right.
Mars was a moon of this planet, and the idea was that it was a early warning zone, and the idea was to take out that zone with an EMP blast. And then to come in, with a blinded warning system to come in and destroy the base. The thing is that the device that was used to do the EMP also accidentally set off the atmosphere because the planet had been fracked by the same people who are fracking our planet today. Which is why nowadays Mars, if you've spoken to people who have been to Mars, and there are a few now and now, will tell you that the atmosphere of Mars smells oily.
Mm.
Right? Okay, so that was destroyed. It was burnt off, and many, many, many people lost their lives. And it was a terrible thing because Pleiadians are telepathic. Now, I've spoken to now the pilot of that ship that did that dropped the EMP blast. I've also spoken to the pilot of the ship that took me to the planet, to this planet. Or that we actually crash landed. This story is a tiny part of a much larger story in a much longer war. So that started to, you know, so this story has been, you know, I've been learning this story. I've been learning about this story. What are the different aspects? And a couple of years ago, I listened to a recording with Alfred Weber and Simon Parks and Randy Kramer, and they just mentioned this, you know, a little snugget of this. And I thought, oh, I've got to talk to him. So I brought Simon Parks on the show, and eventually I brought him on the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, so that was the story. That was the story of Maldek. Now, that explains a lot of things that I've learned about in the last, you know, in my whole life. 40 times Charles Fort investigated things that fell from the sky, like
yes.
shoals of fish.
Right.
Right?
Or,
and this
or
explains
boulders,
it.
Boulders and all this other stuff. And that's where the asteroid belt comes from.
Yeah, this is the asteroid belt. It's bits of this planet that was destroyed by a Pleiadian attack on a reptilian base in our solar system.
Yep, and that's why they've actually done studies, and they've placed people in hyperbaric chambers, and they basically studied their biorhythms.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that Caucasian white people actually have a biorhythm which isn't native to this, or a circadian rhythm which isn't native to this planet.
25 and hours by any chance?
Yeah, it's native to Mars, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So, the Mars, you know, Mars needed to be evacuated, whoever survived. You know, people survived in underground bases because there was oxygen down there. but a lot of the oxygen was just burnt up because the atmosphere was basically like a car cylinder that's just, you know, inflammable at the right pressure and the right temperature, and bam, you know, one little spark.
Well, and the thing is that basically what we're talking about here is that if you can connect a whole people from their true history and you just replace it with all this crap, and then you feed them all this sugar and GMO food and stuff so they can't even think straight, and you fill them up with mercury and fluoride and all this, and yeah, you're gonna be able to control them.
Yep. So mercury, that's another little thing. Heavy metals.
The planet or the element?
Yes. So, but I mean, it's essentially the element mercury, this liquid right. metal, that, can be, you know, it's really useful in certain things. Like, there's probably stuff in your mobile phone. You probably got a tiny bit of mercury to do the tilt thing to
yeah,
know
like
where it's.
Your fillings and your vaccines. They're really helpful.
Oh yeah. That's really good, isn't it? All my teeth that had fillings have all basically fallen apart, and I haven't replaced them with mercury again. But I'm waiting for them all the fillings to fall out, and then I can start rebuilding. But anyhow, tell us about mercury. I've seen what mercury does to a nerve. And by the way, people, if you want to go to YouTube, type mercury attacks a nerve, and you'll see what happens when you put a drop of mercury, tiny, tiny drop, next to a neuron. You've seen that film, haven't you?
No, I haven't actually.
No, you haven't. Oh, check it out.
I will have to watch it, but I can tell you, as I'm detoxifying a significant amount of mercury myself right now, as we speak, and the last few years.
Oh, I bet you feel very, very nice today with that lovely headache. Is there that headache that looks like that feels like a steel band around your head?
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny that. Anyway, go on.
Well, I mean, just earlier, actually, a little while before I talked to you, I had a big parasite dying off in my ear, and my ear was ringing for like 15 minutes and twitching and going thump, 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 thump. You know, so I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on. But when every morning when I wake up, I literally am freezing, and I poop out like loads of poison, and I almost like throw up every morning. You know, a lot of times I just feel like my arms and my whole body is like just so achy and dead, like I was in like I got like kicked by a horse and I've been recovering. You know, and you, a lot of times you can't even think straight. You can't get your head to just like start functioning, like your pineal gland, you're trying to get it fired up and going, and you just can't, and you get that like migraine, like headache feeling, stiffness in the body. It makes you feel like you have like kind of like you're coldy, like you got a fever all the time. And it's depressing. It makes you feel like shit, basically.
There you go. Somebody's pasted it in the chat room there. Mercury's effect on brain neurons. And basically what you see, you know, you see it's like a tree. Imagine that tree's made of a very fine plastic. And the mercury is like a hot flame. And it the nerve will just literally melt away back down to its stem.
Yeah. One of the things I would say, too, because I've been basically all these vaccinations have been coming back out through my skin, and I've had hundreds of them. It's crazy. But one of the things that I've been using a lot of is essential oils to help get them out through the skin. And one of the best essential oils to bind with the metals and get them out. Cause what I'll tell you, JP, is that getting these metals out of the body is very difficult. And even once they've come to the surface of the skin and you can like, you know, where it is and what you're dealing with, actually even just scraping the skin off your body is very difficult because of like how much the metals all bind together. And then the parasites, like basically like, they absorb the metals and they use them as their food, and it shields them. So frankincense essential oil is excellent because it binds with all the metals and it helps, you know, you like scrape it off and cut through it basically.
What about using it as incense?
Yeah, well I use aromatherapy with all the oils. It's lovely.
Good. So yes. Where are we? 51. We're coming up to the break. Do you have a website? Do you have anything left?
Yeah, I do. It's called thetruthfairy.com, and fairy is F-A-E-R-I-E.
All right, not F-E-R-R-Y. To the island of truth. The fairy to the island of... Sorry, I got it. No. Spell it again. Truth, F-A-E-R-I-E.
Yeah, thetruthfairy.com. I'm probably going to have to edit it a little bit because a lot of it had like links to my YouTube and stuff. And then I have a Facebook and, you know, all that. I have like 36 videos on Facebook on my...
All right, so what's that called?
It's Russell Blatberg, R-U-S-S-E-L-L. And then my last name is Blatberg, B-L-A-T-T-B-E-R-G.
That's the one that everybody needed to know.
Yeah, and then I also, my girlfriend's YouTube, The Truth Fairy, we have 6 videos on there still. And then I have loads of content still. I have it all backed up on my hard drive, but I can't create any more YouTube channels, and I can't release it on my girlfriend's channel. And yeah, and I don't know. So if people are willing to have content on their channels, I can give them content to upload, but I just can't put it out there.
You could rent a small server.
Yeah, I'm totally broke, man. I barely have money to eat and pay my bills. So I'm kind of struggling at the moment.
All right. Well, look, if anybody wants to donate some PayPals to him, and then he can buy a DigitalOcean server and run out of that. There we go.
Yeah. I do have a PayPal.
So. All right. So there you go. So, give us the PayPal now. So people can support what you're doing.
It's Lucifer, L with 4 O's, S-E-F-E-R. And then I have a link like the PayPal me/Lucifer with L. With 4 O's, S-E-F-E-R. So if anybody wants to send me some cash, or they just message me, I can give them the link or whatever. That'd be amazing.
All right. That's why YouTube bans you. I don't know why that just happened. I think something just fell onto the mouse that just clicked it. Stop that. That was completely accidental that the tears came out there.
I appreciate it, universe. Kind of.
I didn't do that. Something fell onto the mouse that just happened to be sitting on the cheers. Yeah, that button. Awesome. Right. So, yeah. So, do you have, you've got the name of your Facebook so that people can friend you there. Okay, so more about the Aphiacan concepts. Tell us more about Aphiacus. Oops.
Well, the thing is that, to me, Aphiacus is more about, it's about a shamanic vision. And I actually have a lot of, my sun is an Aphiacus, my moon is an Aphiacus, and my mercury is an Aphiacus, and then I have a lot of enhancements all enhancing those. So I think part of the reason that I'm here is to actually talk about Aphiacus. And so I'm really happy that this has all come up and you're asking me about it, because I feel like it's a good opportunity to just say some stuff about it.
Well, yeah, because I've seen it for a couple of years. You know, people have been banging on about it, and I'm still not clear. You know, I know what a Scorpio feels like. I know what a Sagittarian feels like. You know,
yeah.
I know what Capricornians feel like, which is like, but, you know, and you get a feel for all of the signs. Well, I do. That's what, you know, cause I'm, sure. You know, that's what I do. But, tell me more about the quality of, you know, how would I recognize an Aphiacan? You know, that would be really cool. You know how you can say, hey, you must be a Libra. wouldn't it be cool to be able to say, I bet you're an Aphiacan. Well, are you born between da da da? There you go.
Well, the thing is, how do you pick out a shaman out of a crowd? You know, how do you pick out a, you know,
you smell
psychedelic traveler, right? The thing is that, Joey, one of the qualities that Joey described to me about Aphiacus is that Aphiacus is like, it's basically very hardcore. Aphiacus is, there's no bullshit involved in Aphiacus.
All right. Well, there's going to be no bullshit because we're going to be here on the other side of this. Please stay tuned for more Aphiacus. 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 Aphiacus.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
The paradigm washes over us. The winds of change, a fickle mistress. This, the truth in plain sight. The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
Socrates.
This is C. Travesty. I am the ghost in the machine. This world, this life, is the great mystery. You are broken down to be rebuilt anew. Deep insight deconstructed for you. Ghost in the Machine with Steve Travis. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 6 Eastern Time, Studio B, 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 B.
Join the Sacred Matrix with hosts Janet Kira Lesson and Dr. Sasha Lesson, 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on Revolution Radio.
Here we free ourselves from the God spell, transform the perverted matrix to the divine one. We become conscious and we embrace universal unlimited love.
We feature colorful guests and topics such as extraterrestrials, ghosts, interdimensionals, and aliens. We examine evidence, anomalies, archaeological ruins, and anthropology.
We explore past lives, future lives, life between lives. We get into astral projection, near-death experiences, archetypes, visions, and dreams.
Episodes include time travel, teleportation, counseling, spirituality, tantra, relationships, peace, shamanism, peak experiences, and ego transcendence.
Join the lessons Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com for The Sacred Matrix, a divine paradigm of love.
Oscar's freaks, that's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating faster. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is mere insanity. And do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting with danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Radio!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
On the go? Still want to listen? Don't have one of those fancy phones with too many buttons? Don't know what an app is? Or you don't even care? Well, we got you here at Revolution Radio. Now you can dial in 24-7 to listen to our shows. We have a number for Studio A and Studio B, and best of all, it's free. Don't forget, carrier charges for your cell phone provider may apply, though, so check with your cell provider to make sure. So ready? Here you go. Get a pen. Here's the number. Studio A is 712-432-6958. And Studio B is 716-748-0112. Thank you very much for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station in the world. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon. Now, let me just see. I've got a special seed pack announcement, and I'd like to play it for you so that I do. Oh, there we go. Jan, seed pack special. Oh, does that work? Starting at 4 p.m. Thursday, January 19th until midnight, Friday, January 20th, any donor of $50 or more will receive a seed pack with 16,500 seeds worth $150. All non-GMO heirloom vegetable seeds, sponsored by the seed company Mike works for, to provide the seed packs. Make sure when you're making the donation to include in the buyer's notes your address and note special seed promotion. Includes the following seeds. Speed it up for your time and convenience. Arugula, slow bolt, asparagus, Mary Washington, bean, blue lake bush, beets, Detroit, dark red, broccoli, carol, braise, Brussels sprouts, Long Island, cabbage, red acre, cantaloupe, Hale's best jumbo, carrots, scarlet nantes, cauliflower, snowball white, celery, Utah, collards, Georgia southern, corn, delicious, cucumber, Boston pickling, eggplant, black beauty, honeydew, green flesh, kale, blue scotch curl, lettuce, butter crunch, lettuce, iceberg, lettuce, Paris island, lettuce, red romaine, okra, spineless, onion, yellow Spanish, pea, green arrow, pumpkin, Big Macs, radish, cherry bell. That's right. If you donate $50 or more, you get this seed pack free.
Yes, indeed. So there we go. Get some seeds, or if you if you were just dancing to that tune, I was just really sitting in my chair dancing to the tune. Anyway, buy the seeds and support the station, or the station will go dark. It'll be like this. It'll be like, oh, terrible. That'd be a terrible thing. So, you don't want that to happen. You really don't want that to happen. Our frequency needs to rise. So, that's better.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm speaking with Russell Blatberg, and we've been talking about the 13th sign. Oh, hang on, let's have a quick, the 13th sign. So, tell us about the 13th sign more.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that basically, I think what everybody wonders is what happens after you die, to a certain degree, right?
Because one of the questions, yeah.
It's pretty, I think a lot of people have a lot of anxiety about it, to be honest. And that's actually a really good reason to do psychedelics or entheogens, is because it prepares you for that whole experience. But basically, the thing is that when you die, there's no more illusions or delusions unless you create that for you. Like, from what I understand is that the whole process of life is that you incarnate in order to learn and to overcome these challenges so that you can kind of move to the next level. Just, you know, it's sort of in the same way that, you know, you go to first grade and then you have to graduate. You know, in a way, the incarnational cycle is your life is sort of like a test, and you either learned what you were sort of supposed to learn or you sort of didn't, in a way. And I don't mean that in sort of like any kind of like crazy esoteric sense. It's mostly like you, you're here to be like a good person, and if you weren't, if you didn't do certain things in the past life that you maybe like were supposed to, then you're going to have to work on those again. Or if it, maybe not even if you didn't do certain things, because it's not always in this like negative way, but maybe if you didn't finish what you wanted to finish, right? It's not just always like, oh, like a guilt trip or a negativity trip, because everybody incarnates for different reasons and we're all here for certain things. But at the same time, we all have responsibilities and duties, and that we didn't come to this life purely for our own egos, just to satisfy our own pleasures. There is a purpose to life, and most people are missing out. And, you know, it's the question, do you eat to live or do you live to eat? And if you live to eat, then why exist? And if you're eating to live, then you have to be doing stuff if the whole concept is that the universe is gifting you with energy. So then you have to, in a way, you have to do something with that energy of value for others, for the existence itself. The creation creates you. So therefore you have to then go in and create something within the creation. Because then if you take your energy to then destroy the creation that created you, it's against the nature of the whole creation, which is against nature, which is against God, so you're using the energy that is being gifted to you by the creator to then destroy the creation, other aspects of the creation, which also have the free will and have the right to exist and all this. So it's totally backwards, and which perverts the energy, and it creates this whole kind of matrix of what we live in today, because then basically people get caught up in negative karma. And that's how you end up in a spiritual prison, like, you know, of what Earth has kind of become for people.
And, you know, being in a spiritual prison sucks a lot. And yeah, so back to the story of being in a Pleiadian quarantine dome, and it's not such a bad idea until Earth learns to calm down a bit. And perhaps the advent of Aphiacus, is the ability to take on, maybe it's a sign of being more empathic. Is it a sign that it says, you know, you got to listen to some other things that you've not been paying attention to? It's like all these alarm bells are going off in the basement and you can't hear it.
Well, yeah, so you were talking about some of the qualities of Aphiacus. And again, one of the ways that Joey described Aphiacus to me is that it's hardcore, that it doesn't want to hear your misconceptions. It doesn't want to hear your bullshit, that it's going to basically tell you the truth of what's really going on, like regardless of your biases. And that pretty much it's like if somebody has a leg that has gangrene and you amputate in order to save the person's life because it's going to infect the rest of the body. Now that's hardcore, but at the same time, that's sort of the energy of Aphiacus. It's like the unpleasant truth, basically, but the one that's going to heal you, the bitter medicine, you know, like ayahuasca, right?
Well, which basically kills you. And then the shaman gives you the antidote. Which is the other thing, which is why you have to do it. You can't do it alone. It's a matter of being timed properly. So, you know, basically it takes you to death's door so that your body responds to being at death's door, which is to release the DMT that has been saving up. And saving up this for a nice, a real Netflix and chill. Okay, let's have a look at your life from everybody else's perspective. Yeah. Oh, I've got to find one of those. I had one of those there. Anyway, so yeah, the review, the life review, tell us about, I mean, because that's what you get with ayahuasca at some level. There's an objectivity to your life that sees it placed within the context of multiple lives, that are playing out on this particular plane.
Yeah.
At least.
The thing is that you're absolutely right, JP, about the life review, but I guess one of the concepts that maybe I would like to introduce into this whole concept is that while the whole concept of a life review is that you're sort of like, you know, people think, oh, you're getting to see your own life objectively without your ego, but it's not exactly just that, because what I would like to introduce to people is that this whole concept of God or a creator is real, but it's not what people think, because realistically, God is a woman. God is the female energy because that's where all life comes from, is from women and the woman and the whole concept of the feminine and the divine energy. And that's what we're really disconnected from, because again, if you look at this whole world, it's all based around time and logic and you know, point A to point B and this whole linear concept. But in reality, we're these multidimensional beings that can't be limited. And that's what the creator is all about. It's about love, and you can't limit love, you know? The truth can be defined, but love can't even be defined. It can be expressed, but you can't limit it. So I guess in a way, a life review is really like coming in touch with the goddess, and you sort of, it's the emotional content of your life, maybe, which has been neglected in one way, shape, or form, if that makes any sense.
Well, yeah, how you made other people feel.
Yeah.
How sensitive you were to other people. Sure. And,
how sensitive they were to you, or how they made you feel. And it's about how, in a way, how you feel at your deepest core, which is in truth, that's how the creator feels about it.
Exactly.
Which
because,
is,
you're looking at you, I'm looking at God.
Well, yeah, because what's the true difference? How can you separate the creator and the creation?
That's it. So
at its most fundamental level, forget the ego bullshit.
So there we are. Yeah,
right.
I found.
So it's about that, reaching that awareness, but that's very difficult to do with Fox News on.
It certainly is. Yes.
That's the whole point, you know? And when you're eating GMO food, and when your brain's all fucking full of fluoride and mercury, so that your pineal gland's all calcified, and that these parasites are running your life and they're trying to make you smoke a cigarette because they're telling you that you're stressed and they're getting you to act out, and people are acting out in the world, and there's all this disharmony. And, you know, people are not really doing what they are meant to be doing.
There's an awful lot of acting out right now because people are lacking. I've been talking about this last night on my other station, we were talking about the idea that the role of the father in the family, there's the role of the mother, but the role of the father, one of the roles of the father is to keep the peace.
Right.
You know, wait till your father gets home. And one of the things that's happening right now is Trump is the father who's just arrived home. And he's saying, look at the mess in this place. And sort this out and sort that out. And sort. So that this is he expressing a fiercus?
Well, you know what's actually really interesting that you say that? Trump's South Node. I need to double check that, but I believe, yeah, his South Node is in Ophiuchus and his North Node is in Taurus. So in a way, he's sort of representative of Ophiuchus, but in my opinion, it's all this false dialectic. It's, Trump's not a real, I mean, Trump is a New World Order reptilian, you know, I mean, he's not helping us out or anything, but he is speaking a lot of truth because that's part of the way that the elite have to work. Just like Putin is speaking some truth, but it doesn't mean he's a fucking good guy. It's, you know, I'm sorry.
FCC, please.
Sorry. But, freaking good guy. But realistically, you know, just because somebody's an alien doesn't mean they can't say some things on the news that aren't true.
So. Where are we? So we're, again, today we're looking at Ophiuchus.
God bless you.
Yes, indeed. You know, the mystery 13th sign. I mean, it is a fascinating look at if you were to take these things into account. So what happens if you actually look at the real ecliptical degrees of each sign as there agreed sign boundaries? this is getting really into it. You know, how is it, is there a, is, right, okay, so let me, instead of saying, are there 13 regular signs, I'm asking, does each sign, does the sun spend a different amount of time in each sign? Yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's, yeah.
And
that's,
is there, what is the name of the astrological school that works according to where the sun actually is, actually in each sign? What's that called?
I mean, the most, what it's generally basically going under is sidereal astrology in general, because it's the looking at the stars, sidereal. The actual constellations.
Oh, I like sidereal. You know, I think perhaps we ought to adopt sidereal astrology and sidereal time and just navigate by the stars. It always works.
Yeah. True.
Anyway, but yes, indeed, you have this 13th sign that is creating a new domain of beingness, really. It's a different character that somehow, you know, it's coming from the center of the galaxy. Now, here's the thing. The thing, right, so I was talking about this reading that I had in 2011, and then I had this journey of discovery. Another thing that during this period of finding out, there's a thing called the wave, that there is this ripple in space and time, this gravitational wave, this hyperdimensional, that high energy wave that is coming from the center of the galaxy. Now we're edge on to the edge of it. So all we're going to see is a line that gets bigger. It's like it just gets wider in the field until it finally surrounds us. But the energy is so high that it's beyond the visible at the moment.
Can I address that?
Please, because I believe this is a wave of refreshment. My guides call it the refreshment.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what you're really talking about is the wave and the oncoming actually growth of consciousness. Like, just like you're advertising, you know, the seeds on your channel and you're saying if people donate that they can grow their own food and feed themselves and they don't have to be slaves to the corporations the same way for, you know, and they can actually help you at the same time and support the truth. You see, really what we're just talking about is loving each other and bringing in a new kind of age, a new, you know, a really, you know, not a new world order, but a true sense of order where we can actually live in peace and harmony, because there's no reason for us not to do that.
Indeed. So we have a caller, somebody who's interested in our little conversation. Area code 408. Who's that and where are you?
Katie, I'm calling because I wonder if you're aware that there's a woman's voice talking in the background.
Oh, I see. There.
It's like there's another call.
Yeah, I've got a radio. Sorry, it was just a fader that I'd knocked and, yeah, thank you. I've got that.
Ah.
Who's that?
Okay, thank you.
Oh.
Bye.
Bye. Who's that? All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Right. Lovely. Okay. Meanwhile, the wave of refreshment. Sorry, Russell. Please go ahead.
Okay. Well, the thing is that this is the coming age of Aquarius. Now, I've been thinking, you were talking about this whole concept of time and you were suggesting sidereal time. Now, the thing is that, you know, we all can agree that today is, you know, more or less it's Monday, the 30th in January, 2017, right? Since Jesus, right?
So they say, but according to these Russians, we're about 800 years out. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, well, whatever. But my point is that, okay, people accept that it's 2017, but that doesn't even make any sense if you really think about it. 2017 and then there was zero and then there was this guy Jesus and, I mean, it's kind of arbitrary if you're not looking at it in terms of astrology, don't you think? In these like 2300 year cycles and the galactics, the 26,000 year age, right? A single galactic year, the 26,000 year cycle, like you're talking about, you know, this whole, where we our true history of why we're all traumatized and going back to Atlantis and, you know, how kind of humans were genetically modified to be this and connected from the 12 chakra system and the 12 strands of DNA and also these extraterrestrial races and then being dominated by, you know, this, archonic, reptilian, you know, gray sort of, slavery paradigm.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, and again, that's the consequence of good and evil. You end up with slavery. And
right.
torture and abuse. We're learning about this is the end of our learning period about that.
Right.
So, and we've learned the hard way because we've learned what the consequences of expressing it like we did in Atlantis.
Definitely. So Jesus, of course, you know, represented the year zero, right? It was this beginning of the restart of time. Now, what is the restart of time? Why did you go from negative time, you know, where you're talking about BC or, you know, whatever, right? I mean, all these concepts of after Christ and before Christ or Anno Domini or what, it's all based on a Catholic or Christian paradigm. But really, if you actually understand astrotheology and understand really what these religions are all about, it's about the exoteric perversion of mystery school teachings, which were based in astrotheology, which is all about astrology, which is truly about sidereal astrology, because, you know, the people who have been running the show, you know, understand natural law and the way things work. They just haven't really saw fit to tell us everything because it's not in their interest. So, you know, this whole concept of the new age, well, realistically, if it's year 2017 and Jesus was bringing in Pisces and we're in the age of Pisces right now because, you know, we just are, and we're moving into Aquarius. Well, by that token, shouldn't year 2300 be the start of the Aquarian age, give or take?
Unless Jesus didn't do it at year zero in the Piscean age.
Right. You know, but if we're taking that.
Maybe Jesus was like 300 years into the Piscean age when he became Avatar.
Sure. But you get,
I see what you're saying. You know, it's right. All a bit arbitrary because indeed, you know, I was brought up half a Jew. Well, half of me was, no, long story. a very important part of me was, yeah, but there's a, you know, there's other calendars. There's the Hebrew calendar, which is like, 5,798 or something. And right. We're over in India, they've had calendars running. And the Taoists have been having calendars since at least Lao Tzu. He started calendars, didn't he? So that's 6,000 years. Right. So where is zero and who decides exactly? That's the thing, isn't it? So
right.
We look at sidereal time, which gives us the, when the lineup happens. Now, you know, when the lineup happens is when there are eclipses every month, aren't there?
Yeah, you're right.
Just like Lao. This is the time of the crossing, isn't it?
Well, it was just a new moon, if that's what you're saying, yeah.
Well, you know, this period of time is what they've called the time of the crossing. That's what I hear, anyway. The refreshment, the crossing, and it all happens at the same time. So as the solar system kind of flattens out and comes to its initial alignment, as if like, you know, it was one kind of pool table that, you know, all the balls were all in their positions and then somebody said, okay, go. And it all started spinning somehow. Or that it would all, things would all synchronize to a cycle like metronomes.
Sure. Well, the thing is that let me tell you what's going on astrologically right now, sidereally, from my perspective anyway, as far as I can look at it. And anybody can go and look this up. There's free software called, you know, if you go to www.theplanetstoday.com, you can look at the Western one. And they also have a version where you can look at the Eastern as well. But regardless, all it is doing is really just shifting it, give or take 30 degrees. Even, you know, if you look up the Eastern one, it still isn't including Ophiuchus. It's just that it's more accurate. But again, this is all free software. Joey taught me that there's software that you can buy. It's like Magi astrology software. But anyway, the point is the pertinent information to know right now from what I'm looking at is, Jupiter is making a conjunction with the dwarf planet Haumea, and it's basically on the cusp Virgo and Libra. Now, Haumea is the goddess that represents childbirth and fertility, and Jupiter is basically all things good. So pretty much right now, we are actually in a phase where a kind of new energy is being birthed. The planet, dwarf planet Makemake, which is actually this like Hawaiian creator god, is in Virgo and is also retrograde as well. Saturn is in Ophiuchus right now, and basically Saturn is sort of the area of the chart where you're not done and where there's a focus of energy. And so it's interesting that we're actually kind of, this whole show is sort of being themed around Ophiuchus, and Saturn is in Ophiuchus right now. So to me, that's interesting. Pluto is making a conjunction with Mercury in Sagittarius, and this is on the cusp of Capricorn, which is all about truth, and then Capricorn relates to business and being a professional. Now, Mercury was just retrograde and went back and was conjuncting Saturn, and now it's gone back out of retrograde and it's now making a conjunction with Mercury. So in a way, I think that's kind of why, like, we're having this conversation, because Mercury is all about communication, Pluto is business, and it's in Sagittarius, which is about communicating truth. So, but we're making a business out of it because this is a radio show, right? Now,
yeah, well, nobody makes any money out of this one. However, this is a fabulous subject, and maybe we should keep following it up, because it's something that we're learning about, and in learning about it, we learn about ourselves, and also those 12 strands start activating, because if I am calculating this correctly, what we're talking about is Saturn is directly between us and the galactic center. Yeah. So what that means is that the wave that is coming from the galactic center is going to hit Saturn first. And right. That should make things very interesting for the financial system, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know when that happens?
Well, and in a way, again, Pluto conjuncting Mercury, all of this is sort of, it's being affected. Now, the sun is in Capricorn, which basically is all about being a professional and work, and actually, and Capricorn is the house of death, and it's ruled by Saturn as well. Cancer rules birth, Capricorn rules death. So we're in a sort of, right now, it's sort of a death and rebirth cycle. Neptune is in Aquarius, and Neptune is the dignified co-ruler of Aquarius, and the moon was actually just making a conjunction with Neptune a little bit earlier today. Now it's past it, and it's actually, let me have a look at the Western.
Yeah, while you're pausing, isn't there a thing that all the planets are direct at the moment? There's like not one planet is retrograde?
That's correct. Only the dwarf planets are retrograde, and the next planet to go retrograde is Jupiter.
Jupiter, when?
The fourth.
In
a few days.
Okay, so In this moment, we could say that we're kind of freewheeling. It's a bit like you press the clutch down, as I joke with somebody, on a proper car. You press the clutch, and the wheels are disengaged from the motor just momentarily before you re-engage the next gear. And it really feels like a declutching when everything's direct, and now everything's in alignment.
Yeah,
to me, this is really the moment that 2012... 21st of December 2012 was supposed to be. Isn't that right?
Well, the thing is that what I would say is that it's been building to this, that it's been a transition of energy, and that realistically, just like in a way, the way everything is manipulated in this world, just like Western astrology is, it's the esoteric and the exoteric, because all the truth in a way is occulted. And so it takes time for the truth to come out, just like it takes time for a seed to grow, because we're talking about the growth of consciousness, and just, you can't get a date on it like, oh, December 21st, 2012, everybody's going to wake up, because that's not how it works. But maybe December 21st, 2012, that seed of consciousness was planted in everybody, and it takes time to grow, just like it takes time for a child to be born, and then it takes time for that child to grow up, and, you know, it's going to be a few years before that child is going to be able to communicate with you, right?
I know, that really sucks, unless you're telepathic, of course. But anyway, that's, and this, again, this is one of the things that really screw human beings up, because the baby's talking to its mother, and like, why can't you hear me? That's probably one of the first traumas that children have, is that they realize eventually that their mother can't actually understand what they're saying, that their mother pretends to understand, but it doesn't really. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. No, they're just going, yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
But that's part of also like learning to listen as well, because not all communication is necessarily verbal. But again, the other thing that's happening right now is the moon is moving towards a conjunction with Chiron. And the thing is that, Neptune, the moon, Chiron, Venus, and Mars are all very close together, basically straddling, Aquarius and Pisces. You know, Mars and Venus are in Pisces, and the moon and Chiron and Neptune are all in Aquarius, but they're all like pretty much in alignment. And there's just like right now, I would almost say it's like the cosmic metronome is in the best sort of position it's been in a very, very, very long time. And what I would say is that basically if you've been a good person, that somehow, you know, if you play things right and you do what you need to do and you utilize natural law and you take into account what we're saying here and actually start to look into astrology for yourself and if you're willing to grow your own food and if you're willing to grow your own cannabis and you're willing to be an activist and get things done and change laws and take risks, you're going to have a better life, because you have to fight for freedom. Freedom isn't just something that somebody's just like, oh, here you go. Because you don't even get money like that, you know, and then money isn't even freedom. Money is, it's slavery. It's the antithesis of freedom. So we have to overcome the money system, but at the same time, you have to beat the game. Realistically, so you gotta get a lot of money. I'm planning to get a lot of money together, and then, you know, I can share it with you and all the other cool people that I like, and we can all do some stuff. So, you know, and that's, partially what Chiron is about. It's about, business and healing that wound and, you know, making partnerships. So in a way, by having my YouTube channel deleted, now look how I'm connected with you and all these other people are hearing me. And maybe it's this potential for new things. So if for every death, there's a new birth and there's a new life.
Absolutely. And indeed, you know, Hydra style, you know, they think they got a monopoly on the Hydra thing, you know. The minute that Julian Assange gets attacked, wham, there's a million copies of it, you know? This is the power of the people. There were so many more. So many more. And everybody's got the right idea and they don't need to be told. You know, that's the thing. Nobody needs to be told what to do, because we know what to do. When an opportunity is presented towards us to, somehow clog up or subvert the system, you know, this is what they used to call throwing a shoe, as known as a sabot. Throwing a shoe into the great machines was called sabotage. Throwing in a sabot, but we have to do it on a we're in a, you know, this is the cyber sabotage as well as the physical. A way of physical is like, well, very much like Audrey was talking to us last night about the people at Standing Rock. Their courtrooms are going to be clogged up for years now, because the Morton County Police are arresting everybody. So basically, they've arrested themselves to a standstill.
Right. Now, one of the last aspects of the chart that I wanted to delve into, which I think is really important, because it's also exactly, in my opinion, it's about what has to do with what you're talking about, is Uranus. Now, Uranus is currently in Pisces, and it's been in Pisces. Uranus is a very far out, distant planet. It has a long cycle, and it's been in Pisces for about 4 years or so. And it's moving into Aries now. And it's also conjunct the dwarf planet Eris, which has a lot to do with business. Now, I want to look up, because I get Aries and Ceres confused. Again, Eris is the Greek goddess of strife and discord. So in a way, we're in a sort of a bit of a death cycle. But again, it's the death of the system, because it's the system that's sick, and you know, it's these parasites that need to die, realistically.
Yeah, one of my research instances is in the. Let's try and get my words right. Get some breath into my head. All right, so I've been talking about this parasitic infection, which is a mold, basically, that we get from the yeast in bread, which is called Candida.
Yes.
I've given it a very friendly and joking name called the Nung. Because, you know, that's really what it makes you want to go, Nung, 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 you know. So I've characterized it, you know, so I've got a website called thenung.com. It's a help site. So far I found that, borax really helps, but there must be other things. You know, people have all sorts of ideas. So, do you have a solution to, and is there an astrological connection to this thing that I call the Nung, the Candida that is created out of our bread yeast?
An astrological connection. That's an interesting concept.
Because I thought of a planetary, that there was some planet that, we were exploring that seemed to have like a planetary infection that was like an analog to that on a kind of grander scale, like a planetary mold.
Yeah. Well, again, Aries, this dwarf planet, is the Greek goddess of strife and discord. And it's conjuncting Uranus in Pisces, which is basically, you know, all about imprisonment and delusion and, you know, the denial of the self and the loss of the self into the collective, which is like the sort of the destruction of like the individual. And yeah, that's sort of what it's about.
So it's something that I figured out, that this beast, this parasite, this particular parasite, jacks into your nervous system and causes cravings and, yeah. And causes bad temper and behavior, by the way.
Yeah. And I mean, realistically, that's why people are the way they are. And that's why things are the way they are. If you look at the entire superstructure of the way that society is run, and I love Terence McKenna's work, because I think he articulated this in a way that nobody else really did, is he, you know, one of the things he said is that we're living in a society that's based around sugar, caffeine, red meat, and tobacco consumption.
Well, yeah, that's, and, you know, what better stuff to feed these parasites? Because the wheat, the little pointy ends of the wheat, they cut open the one cell thick gut wall, and that allows the yeast to kind of swim out and have fun. And look,
yeah. And then the thing is that, I mean, if you were eating organic bread or whatever, it'd be different. But all the wheat products in America, I mean, if you're buying them in the supermarkets, they're all pretty much genetically modified, unless, you know, you're, and I mean, I know you're not specifically talking about bread. You're talking about alcohol and sugars and all this. I get that, but you know, all of the food is being modified. I mean, if you just try to go and buy blackberries and they're not organic, then they're going to have BPA in them. So you're not eating real food anymore.
So they're like 3D printing food now.
Well, I mean, I don't know about 3D printing food, but they're loading it up with all kinds of chemicals that you don't want in your body. And if they get in your body, they're going to change who you are on a genetic level. And it's going to, you know, they're basically like, look, this is a concept that I actually, the more that I live, the more I kind of think this is like weirdly viable. You know, the grays, right? I mean, there's the reptilians and then there's the grays, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the thing is, if you think about the direction that humanity is going with this whole, like, Monsanto genetically modifying ourselves, cell-phoning ourselves into stupidity, well, you could think that maybe it would be possible that if people sort of did go down this, like, transhuman path, that they could ultimately, like, in the future, become the slaves of the reptilians and maybe, like, ultimately lose their humanity and their ability to reproduce, like, just how we're becoming infertile, and then maybe even further modify themselves and become the Greys. And then they ended up in Zeta Reticula because we made Earth uninhabitable in the future. And they had to try to colonize other planets and stuff. I don't know.
You know, I've got chickens. Chickens are reptilian.
That's true.
They have a reptilian society, hierarchical society, you know.
They got a gizzard.
And when I, I suddenly chanced upon a telepathic conversation with one of my chickens. I was just thinking, oh, I'll just move this old girl out of the thing. And she was like, ooh. What do you mean? I'm a queen. I lay the gold, you know, I'm the keeper of the golden uterus, you know, I'm the royal guardian of the great, creator egg. And you dare to take my creations, you know, all right. Okay. Thanks for the breakfast. But anyway, but it really feels like the chickens are like the reptilians' revenge or our revenge on the reptilians because they're now smaller than us and we eat them. They're also on some planet chicken that they have Jewish mother soup, but that's another, my bizarre sense of humor. You know, they have Kentucky fried human. Anyway, the list goes on. The relationship that we've had, we have turned each other into hamburger, you know, the reptilians and the mammalians, and we have to heal this.
And this is the galactic
reset, you know.
Yeah, we have to start farming organic fruits and vegetables and cannabis and, you know, some of these other entheogens and stop farming each other.
That's for sure. That's for sure. I mean, we basically have to become a lot less harmful, to ourselves, to our environment, to each other, for a start, you know. Let's start, you know, being less harmful to ourselves. How would that look, you know?
The thing is that we're living in an age now that with our technology and with our information that there's really no need for us to be killing to survive at all.
Well, it's, you know, we know that they grow sort of proteins in the labs, and we've met corn. Corn's not quite particularly good, you know. It doesn't really do it. But
vegetables, there's loads of vegetables have loads of protein. I mean, this is a whole
I know, but people like the flavor of things. Like, we don't want to end up eating kind of a bland, you know, green soup. I know a lot of people do eat a bland green soup, but it's like,
I'm not suggesting that everyone needs to be vegan.
Yeah. Hey, darling, do you want to come out? Let's go and drink green smoothies.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting that, but what I'm saying is this whole concept of, like, it's like the war on the goddess. I mean, look, JP, if you want to raise your own chickens and you want to kill them and eat them, I don't have a problem with that. If other people wanted to do that, it's not an issue for me. It's just like the factory farming and like the whole way it's being done. That's really the issue.
Oh, no. They're more or less rescue chickens. It's a sort of chicken sanctuary. Even the rooster was victimized.
Yeah. Well, in the end, the animals are more like friends. If you connect with them, and you wouldn't want to eat your friends if you don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially if they're royalty.
Yeah, well.
Discover that your little Scottish Greys are kind of really little queens. Oh.
Yeah. Say, I'm not going to eat you. You're kind of, all right.
But, you know, they are quite, you know, they're quite heartless, you know, starry eyed. They're not particularly loving, creatures. Especially the cockerel, I have to fight him. I have to master him. Every few weeks, I think about every 6 weeks, he starts to attack me, and I then chase him around the garden, kind of do a rugby tackle him down to the ground, hold him upside down for about a minute, and then he calms down, and then that's fine for another 6 weeks. So that's really what we have to do to the reptilians. They kind of go all limp when you do that, when you pull them upside down. It's probably what their mother does when they're children.
Yeah, it's true. I don't even have anything to add to that.
How to master your cock. role.
Yeah.
Anyway, meanwhile. Yeah. Meanwhile, so yeah, reptilian society. So we need to kind of move away from their method of essential hierarchical pecking order slavery type systems into the human circle, which is what humans have done ever since the days of Lyra. Isn't that true?
Well, do you want to hear my plan?
Tell me, Russell.
Okay.
Tell me, Russell, what is your plan?
All right. Well, I'm broke right now, but when I'm not broke.
All right.
Broke,
when you're not broke.
When I'm not broke, because I'm not going to be forever, because money just, you know, it comes and goes. I don't know. I heard one guy in the Religious document. He was this big, like, scammer. He said, money happens. I thought that was really funny. But I don't know if money just happens. But when I'm not broke, when I actually have some money, what I want to do is I'm planning to get a farm in Oregon and grow my own food and cannabis. And then when I have done that, I'm going to be able to make like a lot more money. And when I own my own property, when I've covered my own like basic needs and all that, what I ultimately want to do is create a nonprofit organization called HEMP, which basically would stand for Help Employ Millions of People. And, the whole concept, to basically buy land and then employ virtually anybody, but actually with a specific focus on like homeless or more like unemployable type people like under the system, but anybody could join. It wouldn't have to be, you know, specifically like down and out people necessarily, to basically grow organic food and cannabis and do it where they would sort of ultimately end up building their own homes and their own land and ending up owning their own property and essentially owning their own business, but sort of as part of this nonprofit and then ultimately helping like millions of people through that, because it could be like,
well, it's a model, isn't it? Until somebody's tried it, it's a theory, right? But when people have started to actually do it, like for instance, you know, I'm trying to get my house running on low powered stuff and I have to burn through a whole lot of crap stuff to find out what works. You know, I have to blow loads of solar power, controllers until I find one that will sustain, you know, some hard work or, you know, the domestic use. So where was I going with that? Ramping up. No, I completely lost the plot. Who was thinking of me?
Well, you don't always know.
Oh, you can use more money. No, here's the thing. All right. Yeah. Here's the thing. A while ago, I looked at some, you know, how to make money and all this manifestation thing. There's a thing that I've been using that when I run out of money or when I apparently have very little, I say, I can use more money.
I can use more money.
Yeah. And you don't say I could use more money. You say I can use more money, which is the truth.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy. I can use more money. You can use more. Anyone can use more money. And it's really simple. And, I started it a few years ago and, you know, about 2.5 years ago, I used to say, and I had witnesses. I would say to my girlfriend, I can use more money. You can use more money. Couldn't you? I can use more money. You can use more money. I would go to the bank and there would be £200 extra in the bank. Happened 3 times. It just blew her away. £200 extra in the bank every time I said that. And other times when I didn't say it, there wasn't any extra money. And like, I could never understand why they would pay me an extra sometimes in the middle of the year. You know, sometimes at the end they have that, but not in the middle, but it happened.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that what you find is that if you take the leap of faith that the universe will support you, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. And you have to be bold. You have to like say, actually you have to do it. And the money will come, because if you wait until the money comes, then you're always going to be in the waiting till the money comes.
Right. Well, you're living in fear, and that's that's the reptilian trap. That's exactly where they want you.
Yeah. 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 So, Murfling saying, red ink on yellow tissue on request, burn daily and continue even when it manifests to anchor. Have you done that? Sounds like saying a little mantra is easy. So let's see. Now, there were some questions earlier. Kara was talking about that. That was very interesting, Kara. I'm just looking down the chat room here. There was something that somebody said that was quite interesting, and then I've lost it completely. Nope. Yeah, as long as we don't talk about time traveling Nazis, they're very happy.
Really?
Yeah. one of my favorite topics. Maybe another show. So look, we're up to the end here. Russell, it's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you for introducing us to the 13th sign of Ophiuchus.
Thanks for having me on, JP. I really appreciate it, man. It's been lovely to talk to you.
Excellent, it has. Again, let people know how to find you, where to find you, and what to find. Do you do sessions? Do you read people?
Yeah, I do actually.
That's how you get more money, by the way. You read people and you give them service and you show them wonderful ways where they can improve their lives.
I do, and I want to give as many people readings, and you know, I just need to eat. I don't really do it for money. I just like to share this information with people, but I've come to the point where I do know what I'm talking about and I need to eat as well. So if people want to, you know, help me in that way, if they want to donate, you know, then I'd be happy to give them readings. But yeah, they can find me, under Russell Blatberg on Facebook, RussellBlatberg. They can add me on Skype. My screen name, the same name, the Russell Blatberg, or my screen name is High on Life, H-I-G-H on Life, SINZ88. My email, it's Lucifer, L with four O's, SEFER at gmail.com. I have a Twitter under my name. The only YouTube content that I still have up is under the Truth Fairy, and I used to produce the show Secrets of Saturn, so there's still content on there as well. Although some of it, you know, it's going into the flat earth stuff, and I don't agree with where my friend, we're not really friends anymore, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. But
long story. Yeah, there's been many divisive subjects. I just want to say to all the people out there, whether you believe the earth is round, flat, spherical, toroidal,
yeah,
I don't mind.
Yeah,
I really don't mind.
I just like you to not be a dick to me.
Yeah, just don't swear at people and say that they're stupid because they don't believe your particular flavor of truth today.
Because that's called religion and it's cult behavior. It sucks, and that's the problem. There's reptilian mindset. Anyway.
Or I call it dogma, which your karma can run over somebody's dogma.
Yeah, it sucks. Anyway. Do you know where the word weird comes from, JP?
It's a very old word, W-Y-R-D,
yep.
which could also be pronounced word. Yeah. Go ahead.
Word.
Yeah,
exactly right. Weird word. Yep.
Celtic?
Norse, I believe, but it all has the same roots, essentially.
Indeed. So, anyway, we are just about out of time. Thank you very much. It's been a very fascinating. Hang on. You definitely deserve a
fascinating.
There we go. From Mr. Spock there. Thank you, number one. because, you know, that there's a new domain of knowing that we all can now start, investigating.
Thanks.
Because, like you say, we're changing. We're shifting. The world has been put out of joint slightly. And it's kind of snapping back into place. Good night, brothers and sisters. Thank you and good night.